Jeff mentioned, we appreciate everyone who present here this morning, especially our visitors. We're glad that we can come together to worship God. In this portion of our service, I want us to think about, as we have sung about worshiping God, serving God, loving God with all of our mind. And in our scripture reading, Paul is concerned that Satan would corrupt the minds of the Corinthians. In our recent study going through 2 Corinthians, I was impressed how many times the Apostle Paul in that letter talks about the mind of the Christian. So this morning, let's talk a little bit about thinking like a Christian. When you and I get up each day, are we thinking like a Christian? Are we developing our mind to think like a Christian? You know, when different people approach different situations, a lot of times they approach a situation, they're thinking about it based upon their line of work. Sometimes when my son-in-law will get together and we'll be working on a project, I can tell that he's thinking like an engineer. I'm thinking some other, he's thinking ahead two or three steps. How is this going to piece together? Is this even going to fit together? He's thinking like an engineer. You might have a situation where somebody is thinking like an accountant. They're thinking money. They're thinking money coming in, money going out. Is this going to balance right? Is this budget going to work? They're thinking like an accountant. Some people approach a situation and they're thinking like a mechanic. They're thinking, how is this going to get fixed? When you approach situations in life, a lot of times you're approaching it, you may not even be thinking about it. You're approaching it based upon how maybe you were trained in school or educated or the line of work that you have. Some people approach situations thinking like a doctor or like a healthcare. They're thinking, how is this going to help or hurt the health of an individual? They're thinking like a doctor. When we get up each day, we need to be thinking like a Christian. But how do we do that? That's what we want to talk about this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in our scripture reading, Paul was not concerned about the physical bodies of the Corinthians. That's not what he was concerned about at that time. A lot of people today are concerned about their bodies. Look at the commercials. Weight loss commercials, dieting commercials, exercise commercials. There's a lot of things on TV that deal with the body. When was the last time you saw a commercial for the mind? I don't know if I've even seen one about the mind. How we think. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, what Paul feared was not something about the body. What he feared was that Satan would corrupt their minds. He feared that their thinking, that their thought process, their minds would be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity that is toward Christ. He was concerned that they would not be thinking right. Have you ever thought about developing your thinking? We think a lot about our body. We think about physical things. But do you ever think about thinking? Do you ever think about your mind, what we're supposed to have our mind set on? Turn back to chapter 10. This same word shows up back in chapter 10 where Paul is talking about his work as an apostle. And his preaching, and he says in verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we live a physical life, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations or reasonings, that has to do with the mind. And every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought, it's the same word used in chapter 11 and verse 3 for mind, bringing every thought into obedience, every thought into captivity, to the obedience of Christ. Paul's work in preaching the gospel is to get people to bring every thought, not some, not most, but when you get up in the morning until you go to bed at night, every thought into captivity to obedience of Christ. Every thought in our mind is controlled by Christ. That's why I've entitled it Thinking Like a Christian. How do we do that? Whether it's school or at work or at Walmart or wherever we might be, we need to be thinking like a Christian. How do we go about doing that? You know, the world has a different mind. But Paul wants the minds of the Christians to be guarded. He wants their thinking to be brought into captivity where Christ controls, like a captive, he controls our thinking. The world has a different mindset, and we don't have time to talk about all of that this morning. Obviously, it has an anti-God, anti-Christ mindset, anti-biblical mindset. How do we think like a Christian? How do we bring our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ? You know, in this, in Clarksville and a lot of different places, there are gyms that you can go to and engage in bodybuilding. People want to engage in bodybuilding, and that's good, that's fine. We need to engage in mind building. Developing our thinking process. So this morning, I want us to do that. And we're going to do three things. Number one, we're going to talk about from the Bible why we need to do this. Why we need to develop our mind and guard our mind. Number two, we're going to talk about how that we can do that. We're going to lay down some practical steps that we can take to make sure that our mind and our thinking is right with God. And then, last of all, we're going to look at what is the actual thinking of a Christian. How do I know that I'm actually thinking like a Christian should think? The reason this is important, again, chapter 11 and verse 3, if we don't watch it, Satan can slowly corrupt our thinking and pull us away from Christ. I'm not concerned this morning about the body, the physical body of everyone present this morning. I'm not concerned about that. We're concerned this morning about our minds and our thinking. So let's talk this morning about thinking like a Christian. Turn with me to our scripture reading in Mark chapter 12. Why should we talk this morning about the mind? Why should we talk this morning about making sure that we're mind building more so than body building? Well, first of all, God has commanded it. When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment is, he says to love God, and Mark includes to love God, the Lord thy God, a quotation from Deuteronomy 6, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And we just sang about that, and I appreciate Daniel leading that song. Go down through those things, and you will find that loving God and serving Him and obeying Him includes the outward physical strength, our body, but also what's on the inside. And also notice in verse 30, that should be verse 30, notice that he makes a distinction between the heart and the mind. That's very important. The heart focuses on emotions. The mind focuses on reasoning and intellect. And there is a big push in our society today about emotions, and that's fine. I feel what I feel. And we need to have feeling. But notice that the mind is also there. God wants us to serve Him with our mind. That means our thinking, our reasoning, our intellect. And we have to develop that just as much as any part of our body. If you look around the world today, people are being lost not because of their physical bodies are going to pot. It's because their minds are not being developed right, and the devil is controlling them. So God wants us to use our mind to serve Him. Another reason that we need to sharpen our thinking and be critical in our thinking is because the unbelieving world around us is extremely militant. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. The atheists and the unbelievers and the skeptics and the agnostics and the humanists, they do not believe in God and His Word, and they are militant. And they are militant especially toward our young people, and they are very, very persuasive. And they are gaining ground with our young people because our young people are not thinking right. Their minds are not in tune with the Word of God, and they are being gobbled up by the unbelieving world. In speaking of grievous times, Paul talks about a number of negative things that are going on here. And he ends it with this statement in verse 8. Even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also. Who are these people? These people from verse 1 down. These ungodly people. Now look at these people. These also withstand the truth. Men corrupt in mind, reprobate concerning the faith. They are corrupt in mind. What are they doing? Verse 8. They are withstanding the truth. They are militant. And so we have to make sure that our mind is right, because the unbelieving world is attacking it. Another reason why it's important to think about our minds this morning, as Paul was concerned about the minds of the Corinthian brethren. Their thinking was being deceived by Satan and these false teachers. Why do we need to think about the mind? Because it is something that we can renew and work on each and every day. It's not a fixed or stationary situation. We're not to be conformed to the world, but be renewed in our mind. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's something that can always take place. It's something that we can always work on. It's something that we can always improve on. And Paul mentions the renewing of the mind also in Ephesians 4:23. It's a continual process. It's a process that we can develop more. Another reason why it's important to be thinking about our mind this morning is that's the very place where Christ wants to put His law. You may recall in Jeremiah chapter 31, the prophecy of a new covenant. And when the Hebrew writer references this in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10 and chapter 10 and verse 16, he says that that new covenant law would be written on our hearts and on our minds. Again, notice the distinction between the emotions and the intellect. The law of Christ is to touch our emotions. Love and joy and peace and things like that. But the law of Christ is also to touch our intellect, our reasoning. I believe the biggest problem today is not people tossing out emotions. I believe the biggest problem today is that people toss out the intellect. And their lives are governed by emotions and not by intellect. It's both. It's not one or the other. It's both. And so the law of Christ is to be written on our minds. That means that there are things in the New Testament where Christ purposely is appealing to our emotions, our heart. We talk about tugging at our heartstrings, our emotions. But He's also appealing to our intellect and our reason and our rationale. And we need to be developing that just as much as the other. And then last of all, Christians, we are to be disciplined in our thinking. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. We are to be disciplined in our thinking, just like an athlete would discipline his or her body We have to discipline our mind. And I cannot think of a time frame that we live in that is more important than today in the 21st century. There's so many attacks that are being made on our mind and on our thinking. We are to have the mind of Christ. And Peter even says that we are to have the mind of Christ. Let this thinking be in you. 1 Peter 4:1. And the interesting thing about the word there in 1 Peter 4:1, there are several words for mind in the New Testament. The one in 1 Peter 4:1 means, listen, an in-depth mind, a mind that is deep in thinking, not surface, not shallow, but deep thinking to be like Christ. That's a disciplined lifestyle. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts. We commonly associate that with emotions. And then look at this. Your thoughts. Same word elsewhere. Mind in Christ Jesus. But then look at the very next verse. The verse that we've preached on before. We have lessons on this a lot. People quote the next verse. How is it that the peace of God guards the mind? The very next verse. It's conditioned upon what we think about. What we think about. Paul says, think on these things. What is true, what is honorable, what is just, what is pure, what is lovely, what of good report, virtue, speaking of character, any praise, think on these things. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. We are to be disciplined in our thinking. These items in verse 8 are to control our thinking. And when we do that, that's how God guards our thoughts. We have to do our part. Are we thinking like a Christian? So number one, why is it that we need to consider our mind this morning? The Corinthians were not thinking about their minds and they're being taken away from the simplicity and the purity that is in Christ. Why? Because God commands it and it's important for us to be doing it to stay away from the unbelieving world. Number two, how can we develop a Christian mindset? Well, I can't think of any greater thing than just know the Scriptures. To think like a Christian, we have to know the words of Christ. That just makes sense. That makes common sense. Like the Bereans who search the Scriptures daily, we need to be knowing our Bibles. That's why we encourage daily Bible reading here. It's fine to know sports stats. That's fine. It's fine to know economic stats in the stock market. That's fine. It's fine to know the weather report and the stock report and other types of things. That's fine. But we need to know our Bible. And those Scriptures are developing our thinking. And we have to know what Christ wants us to think. The second thing that is important in developing the right mind is to study culture. We need to keep our eyes wide open to what's going on in the world around us. And not be duped and fooled. And the Proverbs talk about the simple person who just gets up each day and doesn't really think about anything. And they're swept away by the world. We've got to put on our thinking caps and we've got to know what is going on in the culture around us. This is your coworker. This is your classmate. This is your neighbor. maybe even someone in the local congregation. Because we are affected by our culture one way or the other. And we need to be a student of culture. We need to listen and hear what's going on in the world. And recognize that this is a worldly mindset and be able to see the contrast and the comparison with the Word of God. These passages on the PowerPoint all speak to the mind of the world. They have a reprobate mind. Romans 1:28. They're hardened in their minds. 2 Corinthians 3 and 4. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. They have a vain or empty mindset. It doesn't help them or anybody else around them. They have strayed from God. And Paul talks about how they walk in the vanity of their mind, being darkened in their understanding and alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the hardening of their heart. We have some young people going off to college here in a few weeks. You have to understand that you're going to be put into a culture, a subculture, that where many, including the teachers and so forth, have a mindset that is not thinking like a Christian. And you have to readily recognize that and understand that, or you'll be swept away by that like the Corinthians were in 2 Corinthians 11. You have to know what is going on in culture and see how that is different from your Bible. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. Colossians 1 and verse 21. And you being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind in your evil works. When people are thinking the way the world thinks, they are an enemy with God. They are opposed to Him. They are fighting Him. And we have to see it that way. The mind of the world today is pictured as, oh, it's no big deal. It's just a little bit different. No, it's an enemy to what God wants. These passages speak of a worldly mindset. And we have to know what that is. Now, it could be following the news. It could be reading the newspaper. It could be following things online, whatever it takes. Keeping up with different types of things. I try to do that just so that I can bring attention to those things sometimes, from time to time in lessons. Why do I do that? Why do I study culture? Why do I want to know what is going on? Just during the break, I gave Jeff a newspaper article. He gives me some from time to time that dealt with something going on in the Lord's church that's not according to Scripture. Why do that? Why read that? Why study that? Why analyze that? To keep our minds in tune with what is going on in the world and to readily recognize that that is anti-biblical. That will help us. Know your Bible backwards and forwards and be a student of culture. And number three, whenever anything comes up, it doesn't matter where it is, work, school, Walmart, across your neighbor's fence, it doesn't matter what it is, analyze everything theologically. And what I mean by that is everything we analyze with regard to Scripture. How would God want me to deal with this? It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how simple it is or how advanced it is. Everything ultimately should come under the umbrella of what God wants me to be thinking and doing. So let's talk about that a little bit. How do I analyze everything theologically? Well, first of all, does the Bible speak to this matter that I'm dealing with? Whatever's come up, it doesn't matter what it is. Whatever has come up, does the Bible speak to this? Whether specifically, some specific thing that is exactly like my case today, or generically, either way, if it speaks to what I'm dealing with, I need to be thinking about this situation in light of what the Scriptures teach. It could be even things that we would say are not religious, like vacation or recreation. It could be something like that. It could be anything. Is there some principle in the Word of God that deals with this? That's how I'm going to think about this. That's how I think theologically. Everything is under the rubric of the Word of God. And especially if what I'm dealing with has an absolute moral standard with it, that this is absolutely right or this is absolutely wrong, then clearly that biblical principle is going to govern what I am dealing with. There are things in Scripture that are fixed moral principles. Now, I know we live in a modern era of situation ethics. I know that. Where in some situations, right is wrong, and in other situations, wrong is right. I understand all of that. All of the pluralism and the situation ethics and the relativism where everything's relative. I understand that's the world we live in, but the Scriptures don't have that world. And there are things that are absolutely right. They are always right. There are things that are absolutely wrong, and they're always wrong. And if I'm reading one of those things in the Word of God, then that should clearly control what I'm thinking or my mindset. And then a third suggestion would be, how have faithful Christians dealt with this in the past? Sometimes situations come up where maybe it's not specifically mentioned in the Word of God, but how have faithful, godly Christians thought about this and acted with regard to this? I need to analyze every event in my life. My mind needs to be thinking theologically. Everything is within the realm of what the Word of God teaches. That's helping me to develop my mind properly. And then last of all, in addition to knowing the Scriptures and being a student of the world around me so that I'm not gullible and taken in by these things of the world, and in addition to analyzing everything biblically and the way God would want me to live, I'm going to have a Christian world view. I want our young people to be familiar with this term. It's very important. It's similar to what I just talked about. It is getting up each morning and everything is viewed, the whole world, everything is under a particular world view. Every day. My mind is going to be within this worldview framework. What is that? Well, first of all, God is. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Everything revolves around my view that God exists. I'm not going to be an atheist. I'm not going to be a humanist. God exists. And I answer to Him. Number two, God speaks to me through His Son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus died on the cross for the sins of mankind. His divine Son was not just some religious teacher. He's the divine Son of God. He's the Word in the flesh. He's Emmanuel, God with us, and He died on the cross for our sins. Everything is under that view. And the Bible contains the revealed Word of God. It is absolute truth. No matter what comes up throughout the day, my mind has a Christian world view that God is, that Jesus died for my sins, that the Bible contains the very Word of God, that we are made in the image of God. We're not some evolved animal. We're a direct creation of God, made in His image. We have a spirit within us. And if we sin, sin is a violation of God's word. It's not, sin is not some cultural norm. Sin is not some cultural construct of what people come up with. God's word outlines what sin is. It's a transgression of God's law, 1 John 3:4. And that I need to get that sin out of my life by obeying the gospel. Because history is moving toward a singular point. It's not like the Greeks. It's not cyclical. It's not just going in a circle and it just never stops. It's a linear. History is linear and it's going to a point. That point is called the second coming of Christ and the judgment day. And it's moving toward a point. And one day we're all going to be at that point. We have to be ready to meet Jesus when He comes, and we have to be right with God. Everything I view every day is all within this framework. And after that judgment day, there are two eternal destinies. We don't cease to exist when we die. We continue on living. There'll be a judgment day, and there will be a heaven and a hell. Everything I think, everything in my mind, needs to be governed by that worldview. And then last of all, let's talk a little bit this morning about what Christian thinking actually is. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. What is it that shows that I'm actually thinking like a Christian each day? We've talked about why we need to be looking at our mind. We've talked about how we can practically develop our mind. Let's close this morning by looking at what it is that shows that I'm thinking like a Christian and not thinking like the world. Number one, thinking like a Christian is thinking spiritually, and that's capital S. I'm following the words of the Holy Spirit in my Bible. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, for they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Number one, I know that I'm thinking like a Christian when each and every day I get up and I follow the words of the Holy Spirit. My mind is following what the Holy Spirit says, not what I think or I feel. That's the flesh. Thinking like a Christian, it gets back to what I mentioned earlier, it's biblical thinking. It's thinking the way the Spirit wants me to go today through His words on the pages of the New Testament. One example of this is found with Peter. You remember Peter in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 23 when Jesus said He had to go to Jerusalem and Peter said, no, no, don't go to Jerusalem. And Jesus said to Peter, you are minding the things of man, not the things of God. What's in your mind, Peter, is what you want, not what God wants. Thinking like a Christian every day, our thinking has to be biblical. It has to be led by the words of the Spirit on the pages of the New Testament. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20 and verse 19. How do I know that I'm thinking like a Christian? Well, when my thinking is humility and not pride. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is reviewing his work with the Ephesian elders there. And he uses a word for mind that is interesting. It's literally lowly mind. The older versions have lowliness of mind, which is a very good translation because it's a word that is made up of two words, lowly and mind. And Paul said, serving the Lord with lowliness of mind, with tears and so forth. I'm thinking like a Christian each day when I'm a humble person. I don't think I'm better than others. I don't think I'm better than God. I don't resist God. I don't say I don't need this. I say I'm a human being made in the image of God, and I need to serve God, and I need to be humble about that. Pride keeps me away from God. But I'm going to be humble. I know that I'm thinking like a Christian when I'm led by the Bible each day, and when I'm humble, and number three, when I'm mature. When my mind wants me to do the mature thing, not the childish thing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. Each and every day I need to do the mature thing. Well, what is the mature thing? The mature thing is the responsible thing to do, the accountable thing to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20, again, Paul wants the Corinthians to watch their mind, their thinking. And they were the ones who, when Paul came to Corinth, they prided themselves in their philosophy and their thinking. Now he's coming back, okay, let's talk about your thinking. Let's talk about your mind. And he does that in both 1 and 2 Corinthians. Be not children in mind, yet in malice be babes, but in mind be men. Each thing that I'm thinking about needs to be the mature thing, the responsible thing, the accountable thing. That's how I know that I'm thinking like a Christian. What is Christian thinking? Well, it's always geared toward heaven. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Everything that I'm thinking needs to be, is this going to help me get to heaven or not? Everything. Well, Chris, are you talking about, minute little choices throughout the day and things that seem to be seemingly insignificant? Yes, everything. Ultimately, I need to be saying, is this going to help me get to heaven or not? My work choices, my marriage choices, all kinds of choices I make. Paul says that my mind sets your minds on things that are above, not on things that are upon the earth. How do I know that I'm thinking like a Christian? Because everything is this going to help me get to heaven or not? My choice of friends, what I view on my phone, what I purchase, what I make priorities on, everything. And if the answer is no, then I need to make better thinking. So much of what's in people's minds today is that which is upon the earth. They're not thinking about the afterlife. I know that I'm thinking like a Christian when everything works within that realm. My mind is set on things that are above. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. I know that I'm thinking like a Christian each day when my thinking is sober. And the word literally here is controlled. Clear-headed thinking that controls myself. I'm not going to make reckless decisions based upon feelings. I'm not going to rush out and do foolhardy and reckless types of things because I feel a certain way. Thinking like a Christian is sober, self-controlled thinking. It's rational. It's mature. It's reasonable. It's not reckless. Look at the world around you, brethren. The reason we have so much of a messed up society is because people are reckless. And notice in Titus chapter 2 that all age groups and both males and females are mentioned here. All of us. In just a few short verses, Paul uses a word like the word lowliness of mind that's made up of two words, sober in mind. My version says sober-minded, verse 5. For the young women, sober-minded, verse 6. For the young men, sober-minded. Verse 2, for the older men, sober-minded. That's how I know that I'm thinking like a Christian. Have I thought it through? Or is it just an impulse and a reckless mood? Is this according to the Word of God? Have I checked out the Scriptures first? Am I being led by the Spirit? I'm gonna be controlled in this matter. And that's how I'm going to be thinking today. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. My mind, I know that I'm thinking like a Christian when my mind is pure and sincere. It's not hypocritical. Peter wanted to stir them up. In both of them, I stir up your sincere mind by putting you in remembrance. The word here is pure. Without impurity, not hypocritical, not two-faced, not double-tongued. Pure. And then last of all, turn with me to Revelation 17 and verse 9. I know that I'm thinking like a Christian when I think wisely and not foolishly. All of my actions are coming from the wisdom from God's Word. John talks about, here is the mind that has wisdom. Here is the mind that has wisdom. It's the wisdom from above, James 3, not the wisdom from below. This is how I know that I'm thinking like a Christian each and every day. Well, as we close this morning, your mind matters. Your mind matters. I wanted to talk a little bit this morning about what the New Testament says about the mind. And as I mentioned earlier, some of the young people are going off. Your mind matters. And it's fine to think about bodybuilding, but I want us to think about mind building. That's what the devil is going after. Are you and I thinking like a Christian? I hope that this has helped us. The Corinthian brethren, and we've been studying this in class, and that's why this lesson was on my mind, they weren't taking care of their minds. And Paul feared that Satan was going to corrupt them. He calls them back. I see corruption in mind everywhere in society. And I don't want us as brethren here this morning and friends to be corrupted in our minds. So let's go out as we've done before. Let's improve. Let's develop. Let's continue to grow. Thinking like a Christian in every situation that we're in. And if that thinking begins this morning by stepping forward and being baptized, that is great thinking. That's some good thinking. That I need to be baptized into Christ, we can assist you in doing that. Or if you need to come back in some way. You know, when Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8 said, pray for me, that the thought of my heart, and Peter told him to pray, that the thought of his heart would be forgiven, that's some good thinking. So as a child of God, if I need to come back, our mind is on the right thing. But let's go out this week thinking every day like a Christian. Your mind matters. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?